Hello and welcome back to JLXP. Rumble stage day four recap. There were a few things that happened today. G2 lost more, so they've lost four now. And then my number one power ranked T1, who we never completed our power ranking for, we just gave number one, lost a game to EG and then just absolutely annihilated G2. One quick update. The status of the day five recap is up in the air because I'm happy to announce I have tested negative for the coronavirus. So I'm in the process. I'm in the process of trying to book some flights. Yeah, we did it. We did it. Thank you, everyone.
He's going home. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got
going him. Home. Yeah, before EG. I'm going, like, definitely before EG. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
If you tested positive one more time, you might have been able to catch the same flight home.
Even though, yeah, they're just going to quickly stop in Berlin and just grab me, and then we're going to head on back.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's a layover and I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, we wanted to react a little bit to where we are and then kind of work our way backwards through the day. So the state that we're in right now, RNG 7-1, T1 5-3, EG and G2 are 4-4, and PSG is 3-5, with two of their wins coming against G2. The first two games tomorrow are G2 Saigon, very important for G2 to get up to five wins, actually, and then EG PSG. If EG beats PSG, they move to five wins, and PSG will be unable to get to five wins, which means that would actually, if G2 beats Saigon and EG beats PSG, we'd actually have our top four, and the spiciness of the day wouldn't carry on. But That's one interesting thing I just found looking at the schedule tomorrow. But we haven't talked at all. What are your impressions on the day?
For tomorrow or for today?
Either one. What do you want to talk about the most?
So tomorrow I want G2 to lose. I want EG to lose to PSG. I want PSG versus G2 or them to get knocked out and EG to beat G2. I want the ultimate humiliation 0-6 buster out of the tournament for G2.
You want to do to G2.
Am I allowed to say that?
You are. You're allowed to say whatever you want. You're just trying to...
I want them to feel what it's like to be a North American fan just one time. It's been since, right. I don't think they've really felt like a North American fan since 2016.
When they 2-8ed. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was probably the closest they've ever been.
Stuff like this has actually happened a lot to NA. So yeah, you want the ultimate chaos theory, which would be... like you want to risk EG making semifinals just so G2 can get knocked out of said semifinals.
Yes, that would be the risk reward you play by needing EG to lose to PSG so PSG can get enough wins to tie G2 and then they have the head-to-head tiebreaker.
So there's two ways that happens. So either G2 beats Saigon Buffalo And then G2 beats EG, or sorry, EG beats G2. I've already messed it up. But so if G2 gets to five wins by beating Saigon, and then EG then beats G2, both of them would be at five, and we'd actually have yet another tiebreaker. Like EG would beat them twice. That would be your most satisfying scenario in what I'm hearing from you. But the other one would be just EG loses to PSG. And then there's some three-way tiebreaker stuff that can go down in that case. If you end up with three teams at five.
The reason that one's a little easier is because PSG doesn't need to 2-0 if G2 goes 0-2. That's the biggest reason. Because then EG doesn't actually have to play a tiebreaker situation.
Yeah, and PSG's other game is against RNG. So there's a high chance they lose that.
Right, so it's really like, okay, EG lose to PSG, G2 gets 0-2 again. And that's like the easiest way I see this playing out. But realistically, I think, like you said, you might see the end of the day. But, I mean, PSG is looking deep. So let's start talking about what actually happened today.
Okay.
I'm actually going to start from the bottom of the standings. The Saigon upset over PSG was fucking massive for G2.
And honestly, and EG. I think and EG. Yes for G2, but and EG. It lowers the risk. Yeah. Like previously, I feel like if EG lost to PSG, it got a lot more dangerous. Now they can lose to PSG, beat G2, and like just still make it. over PSG without winning another tiebreaker.
Yeah, there's a lot more scenarios that they're safe in. I mean, they can even go 0-2 tomorrow and then play PSG in a tiebreaker if PSG also loses. Like, there's so many more things because that loss by PSG. And I feel bad for them because it came at the worst. Like, that's the NA where, like, you beat fucking you beat G2 twice. You're like, oh my God, we're incredible. And you lose to Saigon, the 0-7 team at that point. You know, like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You might not have liked that because you're like Max Chaos. You want to just see, you want to see like the loudest English language fan base in the world, be sad. I'm kind of there with you, but I'm a little more conservative. Like, I will just take, we went through it yesterday, how there was like 2016 and 2019 MSI were the only times NA had even made it to the knockout stage. So I'm just going to take a knockout stage any way it happens.
I would much prefer G2 to be in knockout stage. I think it's much better narratives. It's much more interesting for bracket play. Because I don't think PSG could actually win best of five versus these other teams, but I think this World War G2 still could, even though they're not looking good right now. So I actually want G2 to do well. I was enjoying their win streak, but now that it's lost, I just have to go as hard in the other direction. Because I was riding that win streak really
You're
hard.
Just a streak connoisseur. So in either direction, like you don't hold bias to which direction a streak is going. You just love streaks.
I love streaks, and I also love pretending like whatever happened that day is like the truth, and everything else had been wrong. But finally, this day of all, like this was the day of upsets. Like literally, I think it was 5 out of 6 upsets happened. Maybe 4 out of 6, I guess.
Yeah, it was 4 out of 6 because RNG won both games, but they were very close to losing one.
I guess T1 as well, depending on your definition of G2 versus T1. But either way, it was a very interesting day. But it's just always fun to pretend that, like, oh, finally we've returned to normalcy.
So, you know, the last, like, international event that we did, like, big predictions for, 2019 Worlds, there were, like, 15 casters that all did predictions. And through the group stage, I had the best prediction score. But it's because I refused to react to new information.
In overtime, it proved right.
I literally just power ranked the groups in the most simplistic way possible. I said, Korea is greater than China, who is greater than Europe, who is greater than NA, who is greater than the LMS. And I just picked that in every single game. And I had better predictions than literally anyone else that tournament.
Dude. So this is going to be a mini tangent as well. At one point I talked about like the historical value of information, like this kind of stuff. And like a couple of the people from the LMS region got very upset at me. I forget. It's like he was like an assisting man. I think it might've been Nelson. It might've been someone else. I don't remember.
Okay.
They were like, oh, it's like, you can't use historical data. It's like, you have to look at what the teams are actually doing. And it's like,
yes and no.
That's fact. Well, yes and no. I'm going to go on the no side just because there's plenty of people who will take the yes side, of course, analyze the games. Mm-hmm. But like, historical data is relevant. And of course, there'll be times where it's upset. But another year, like literally the next year, I did it again. I used like just historical data. You would have got 15 out of 16 predictions correct of group placements. You might not know exactly who's going to win every game, but like the actual finishing placements of the 16 teams of the tournament, 15 out of 16 finished correctly just based off regional strength. It's like,
that's nuts.
I just don't think people understand the power of like data and big data and things. And they just don't, like, it's easier for them to like, rather than think about interpreting it, they're just like, no, it's not useful. And I'm like, I don't know how you can walk away. And there's reasons beyond the data. It's like population, server size, infrastructure. Like there's a lot of these reasons that like this kind of regional strength thing works, but like, people just like, are like, no, I don't want to think about it.
Okay. So,
anyways,
to restate where we're at, somehow EG and G2 were tied, and there's a good chance that their game actually matters tomorrow, even though it can be decided after two. I want to talk about why G2 was winning, and then why are they struggling? Because right now, they are actually, they're slightly worse than I would have expected them to be coming into the tournament. I thought they were better than EG, but worse than RNG and T1. And you know, they're tied, but that can obviously change in a day. So like they have reverted to the mean. I just didn't expect it to be so streaky, like actually looking like they could be the best team to now not being able to buy a win. I have some theories of what's happening, and it's draft related, but
I agree.
Yeah. So when they went on their big run in LEC playoffs, a lot of it was just by, I need to drink some water actually. 1 second.
Uh-oh. The COVID's coming back.
It's gone.
It's coming back with a vengeance.
Yeah. So it was through team fighting, and it was a lot through mid jungle, like Cavs popping off. And even though Flacid was the most impressive performer all through group stage and all through the first half of Rumble stage, like impressive in the sense of, I didn't expect him to be able to play this well. And then he did play this well. All through playoffs, they kind of put him on a Felios, and he was this great team fighter. And I think when he was laning against EG, Danny and Vulcan weren't punishing his laning phase at all. Whereas now the switch to the Kalista meta has been really bad for them. Because if you're going to pick Kalista, obviously it's lost a lot, but there is a reason that it's getting picked. It's because it can just absolutely steamroll over lanes and give you huge gold leads to just take a bunch of turrets and maybe win the game off of it. But when G2 picked Kalista against PSG, they didn't even win lane. They just lost the lane. And then they had a Corki mid lane, which had no prio, and they had Broken Blade in top lane as Gwen versus Kennen, who didn't have prio, and then they had Poppy jungle, who's not going to actually be able to win, like actually kill a Kennen with Gwen, Poppy in a side lane because he just doesn't bring enough. Or like if Poppy Nautilus ever catch like Lee Sin, they didn't even have fatal damage, whereas like any other jungler would be able to. But the point there is that was a team comp where they needed to play through bot prio. Their bot lane was unable to get prio, and they had nowhere on the map to make plays. Whereas when I look at the drafts that they played earlier on in the tournament, when they were winning a lot, they almost always had a better mid jungle. They either had Ahri or they'd get a counter pick for Caps. But now teams are waiting until the bottom of the draft to either counter pick Caps, or they're just taking Ahri themselves with like a Zoe ban thrown in or something so the Caps can't get prio. So without the mid prio and with the bot lane being more of these, like they're not picking scaling picks for Flacken and he's not getting prio. They're just not finding ways to kind of get advantages in games. That's my take.
I think, I largely agree. I think what we were talking about last episode is just right. I think it's just a team fight meta. Like every time that the team that has the comp that's going to have better 5v5, they almost always win. You know, outside like some specific situations, it just feels like even like the RNG game. I'm like, wow, that's a fucking annoying comp to play into. Leona, Galio, Kai'Sa. You know, like, and we're a bunch of short range shit. That feels pretty miserable. And GP and stuff, the RNG EG game, it feels like just pick team fight. The problem that people are running into is the bot lane meta is actually AD carry dependent. And this is so uncommon to have who you pick for AD carry matter. Mm. You used to be able to just blind Kalista and then you win the support matchup or whatever. Or like you just are able to take a range one and just auto win it. Mm. Or something. You know, like you do Kalista Thresh and you just, it doesn't fucking matter. You win the lane. You can't do that right now. There's no marksman support pairing that feels strong enough that can just be blinded 1-2 or like pick the first half of it, then pick the second half of it. Caitlyn Lux or Caitlyn Karma, or like that doesn't exist right now. And that's actually how so many teams draft in professional play, is you kind of secure your bot lane early.
Yeah.
But nothing's strong enough to do that with, and everything can get counterpicked. Ezreal gets shit on by Kai'Sa. Kalista will get shit on by Tristana. Like, it's actually like we used to play this counter. Trist Ally shits on Kalista, or any engaged support Tristana can like all in. You have range advantage and you can burst the Kalista and she actually just loses those lanes and stuff. Like, okay, yeah, Lucian's giga broken. He's banned. And outside that, no one knows what the fuck to pick bot lane. And a lot of their drafts lose prio because they're just trying to figure out what to draft. And like, this is extra bad since it's a team fight meta, where like I don't think countering out in lane, like people are playing both sides of GP Gwen and kind of like winning just depending on what else happens in the game.
Yeah.
I don't think the solo lanes actually matter that much right now because it's much more about team fighting. Like they're still very important, but not like a counter pick importance other than like now I have a better scaling option to survive the lane phase. So like because bot laners are so important in team fights, but you can't, you don't, no one knows what to do in bot lane. Everyone's drafts are just kind of boomed randomly.
Well, on the draft,
that's my take.
Yeah, I like that take, because my add-on to it would be that we're actually seeing a ridiculous amount of diversity in draft. To maybe try and simplify a little bit more the way a lot of drafts end up working, like at least regionally as the season progresses, there'll be like, sometimes you're just in a first pick AD carry meta, or you're just in a first pick jungle meta, where you're like, okay, our team's just going to first pick jungle. They're going to match jungle. They'll probably blind pick support. We'll match support. We'll pick our AD carry. They'll pick their AD carry. And you'll have, generally speaking, like the same three roles matched depending on the meta in the first phase of the draft. Then you'll 4-5 like target ban out each other. And it just kind of bleh. Like it's like that. But there's no, to me, there is no standard trend for which roles are getting picked when. So like just today, I'm just going to go role by role for what the first pick was and then what the 1-2 pick is, because this is like all the first ban setup is usually setting up like what your first pick is going to be, so it can't get countered, or so you're able to like ban out its counters and then get a strong first pick. And then a lot of times it usually would be you match that role, but that's not what's happening. So PSG, first pick jungle, G2 counters with bot lane, top lane, and doesn't pick jungle until 3. Next game, T1, first picks mid, EG counters with mid jungle. That's like the more standard that you would normally see. Third game, first pick mid, counter mid jungle. Next game, first pick jungle by G2, T1 counters with mid support. And then they don't pick jungle until 4-5 when Viego is still open because G2 banned Vi, which is hilarious.
But that was...
it's the Vi group stage pick paid off. It gave him Viego. Anyway, and then the last game, just to close out, first pick Ahri, so mid lane, countered with jungle top. So like, we're not even seeing the counter picks come in immediately. A lot of times you're seeing like two more blind picks come in. And towards the end of the day, I'm starting to see more AD picks on 4 and 5 even. Like T1, 5-pick Defelios. Like when the hell is the last, and then EG 5-pick Jinx. Like
I'm telling you,
we went through a whole year of AD carries being always 1-2-3. And the 2 5-pick AD carries actually won the game. Huh.
Yeah, I think there's something there, because yeah, I've just been watching Ezreal's get... I don't dislike Ezreal in the meta, but they take it blind and then it gets Kalista.
Yeah, it or, like, you know, like, it disappeared today. We saw,
yep,
we saw no Ezreal. It's been dropped.
And Kalista's going to be the same thing. People are going to be like, oh shit, we can't pick it because Tristana counters it. And like, this is just, I think, kind of the meta. Is like, this is one of the few times where AD carry counter picks matter a lot. And then if you can build just a better 5v5 engage comp, you usually win. There are exceptions. Like the Saigon PSG game, I actually do like both teams' comps.
Okay.
I think Saigon are just, they've been looking pretty good. They almost won both their games today, honestly.
Yes.
Like against RNG, they actually looked really good.
I think they had that game in the bag. Yeah.
Yep. So like, I think Saigon's better than their record shows. But like, generally speaking, to that point, to go back all the way to G2, in their first 4 wins, they almost always had consistent, reliable, tanky frontline engage. Mm-hmm. Yeah, against T1, it's kind of just a Yasuo comp, but they also have Ornn Rakan. Against RNG, Nautilus, Wukong, Zoe and Kai'Sa makes it a little bit weird, but with Vladimir, it's still mostly a go in with like a little bit more range and agency.
Yeah.
And then they have against EG, they have Wukong, Ornn, Nautilus. Against Saigon, Sion, Bard, like Ahri a little bit can kind of call everyone number. And then they just start going all like skirmish oriented. Against PSG, it's like, I guess our engage is Kalista, Gragas, and that's it. Otherwise it's Aatrox, LeBlanc, Viego.
Yeah.
Ezreal, Viego, LeBlanc, Riven, Yuumi. Like what the fuck is that comp? Uh-huh. And like, they just stop picking team fighting.
Yeah.
When it's like, I think you just pick team fight comps. The win over T1, what did EG have? Galio, Nocturne, GP, Nautilus, Jinx.
Yeah.
It's like,
okay,
everyone go in, get a kill, reset for Jinx, and then team fight. And honestly, T1 should have won that game. They even had the counter in Taric. I thought the Taric was so smart, and they just fucking used their Taric ult willy nilly. I was like,
yeah.
I was like, Caria, you're supposed to be good. What are you doing?
I want to talk about that game, but I want to call us out for yesterday's episode real quick.
Uh-oh.
We said we're gonna do a power ranking yesterday, and then we only ranked the first team, and then we moved on. So first I want to honor system what your 2-3 at the time was, because you told me afterwards so I was going to say T11, G23. I should say them in order. I went T1, RNG, G2. That was going to be my power ranking. What was yours?
Mine was RNG, G2, T1.
Okay. That's out of the way. We can change it for today. We can update. You're still going to do RNG1.
RNG1. So I got that one right, I would say. Like, as right as you can pretend you are one day later after only two more games.
Yep.
T1, they're so... Like, even that G2 game that they... Like, I guess I'm just the T1 hater this tournament. They're on an insane win streak. I think that they are maybe two over G2. I just can't get the G2 shit drafts out of my head. Like, right. No offense to... I shouldn't be this fragrant, but like... Flagrant. Like, but... Yeah, their drafts, I hate them. I thought their drafts were good. Now I hate them. And I'm not convinced that G2 is, just as they were not as good as a 24 game win streak, I don't think they're actually a 0-4 bad team.
Obviously. I think that's a very reasonable take.
Right. And for T1, the problems that they have, they did it against EG and against G2. They were up. They were like even in gold because their laning was better and they had some objectives, but they were like 0-6 in kills before G2 lost two different 2v4s in a row.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, there was a moment in that T1 G2 game where Zeus was looking like playoff summit, and I'm like, this is bad. Like, he's just chain ganking him. He's going to end up 0-7. But I can flip. I'm going to flip this because this is not. Sometimes when the community is going one way, even if I don't 100% believe it, I'm going to go hard believing it because it'll look more impressive if it's correct. Like, I'm doubling down on T1 being the best team here.
Okay.
Because, dude, yes, EG beat them, but like, did they really? Like, two consecutive Baron throws where they don't get the Baron? And we'd already called them out for that play yesterday. Like, yeah, this team is just going to flip Baron every single game. With five people alive, they're going to run to fucking Baron and dare you to come. But then against G2, at like 20 minutes, they ran to Baron and G2 was like, oh, they're doing it again. Caps, go take that portal behind the Baron. And they just didn't start the Baron and they killed everyone on G2. Like, in isolation, it looks so stupid for G2 to check there. But T1 had just conditioned everyone to think there were these brainless apes that just start Baron no matter what, that they easily win a game off of it. And I just go back to every game they played in Rumble Stage. And even though they have three losses, like, they were 5,000 gold up against G2. They were like one ridiculous soul denial take by like a Volibear flying over a dragon pit in the RNG game. And then in the EG game, they were also massively ahead and threw twice at Baron. Yes, that's like three separate things, but like those three things flip, they'd be 8-0 and we'd be having a completely different conversation. Whereas the games they win, they're winning in like 20 minutes because their hands are so good and their macro is just, you know, not very reliable. That's my...
The long con of conditioning people to think you're dumb at Baron is a giga brain take.
So I don't think that's like actually like they were intentionally hinting at Baron, but it worked.
Like, no, you should actually make that be your take so you can clip this out of context. Like, just say it again so you can clip it out of context. And then when they win the tournament, you'll be like, guys, I saw back weeks ago what they were doing and you were all too stupid to realize that T1 wasn't stupid. They were tricking just
conditioning
people.
You
only another giga brain could recognize what they were doing, and it's definitely not that the 50-50s just started landing in their favor after losing a bunch of 50-50s.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're going to continue to 50-50, right? The occasional time they'll peel off when it's super easy, but like I think the majority of the time they're still going to just flip it. But they're not going to flip it tails every time, which is what I feel like had happened in their losses. They just kept losing the flips.
Yeah, I mean, even the turn off against EG was just like, I don't think that they've played, like, they don't really have good turn. It's like Kalista Taric. And so Carrie is like, I guess I'm the turn, and like pops his ult and runs out. And it's like, but now you don't have an ult for Galio GP Nocturne Jinx.
Yeah. All I think they had to do was, I mean, the first time, just to talk about those two Baron throws, the first time they just don't use Taric ult early, like let the flip happen. And when Nocturne and Galio flies in, that's when you pop the Taric ultimate. And the second
and you
time
just killed him afterwards. Yeah.
The second time they did it properly, they used the Taric ultimate, and then Gumayusi just didn't stand next to Taric and he died because he didn't get the invulnerability on Kalista. Like those aren't going to happen again. I don't think.
What do you think's a better nickname? Pumayushi, like poo, or Guma Pussy? But that one has another like kind of sound.
I don't
to
like
it.
Either to, one just, of these nicknames.
He's having a bad tournament, and as you know, I am the poop connoisseur joke. All yes. My names like poo gang and all that stuff. You know, like I need one for Gumayusi, but I can't. I can't decide which one is the one I should tweet. I've deleted them a couple times.
Yeah, because you haven't found one that works. When you do, you'll know.
Puma Yushi just doesn't sound quite like you'd have to think about it. Whereas yeah. Guma Pussy just sounds like another one.
No, that just doesn't sound. That's not even the word you're going for. That just sounds like a different word.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Guma Poopy. Maybe? I mean, why not like Guma You Suck or something like more in your face.
It needs to be a poop joke. There, you don't get the brand. You don't get it.
You want to talk about EG?
Yeah, let's talk EG.
Send some energy their way. They're 4-4.
They're 4-4. I think they did get a little lucky, mm-hmm. but I also think in the past they had been close to winning games and through probably their own problems lost them. But it just felt like these were some of those games recently where they were able to still come out ahead, mostly coming off yesterday and a little bit into today. I think obviously T1 threw really hard, but I think JoJo is actually playing it's a tough group of mids to throw him up against and say he's actually playing better than any of them, but he is in that conversation. Like he doesn't feel outclassed largely.
I agree.
I would say he's the most consistent member. I think Inspired has had better games. I think Impact has made some really big plays, but Impact's also been dumped on in lane a couple times. Yeah. Bot lane kind of speaks for itself. JoJo is actually just doing fine every game in mid lane and then like sometimes making some good plays and sometimes inting a little bit, but like I said, that's equally true of Inspired.
I still feel like for EG, Danny is pressing a bit, and I want to do everything I can to take pressure off. Like just don't worry about it, have confidence. Like I liked our conversation yesterday where he didn't ask for these giant expectations to be placed on him. And I think people have had almost unrealistic expectations for how well he's supposed to perform. At the same time, I'd love it if he started playing better, but like any, like anyone who can just like send him some positive messages, because I know, like just the way he hovers like LS in draft every game. You notice? Have you noticed that he's doing like he's hovering Lux and Seraphine before locking
I
in?
I have
so,
not
like,
noticed.
He's plugged in. He's been in like LS's Twitch chat and stuff. So he's like plugged into the community. So he reads all this stuff. And whether or not you can be like, because he was raised on Twitch chat, like Twitch chat can't hurt him. Like I disagree. Like it definitely can. So please, if you want him to win, I'd say send him as much positive energy as you can. Because I know he has it in him. He just hasn't performed at a high level this time, and it does concern me as well the way he just seems, it almost seems like he's chasing kills in team fights rather than just team fighting well, if that makes sense. Like he's throwing his rockets earlier than he used to. He's just like really pressing for kills a lot of the time.
I think the T1 game was the first time where he kind of looked like his NA self. Where like, you know, he doesn't hard carry right at the start of fights. It's like the rest of the team plays well, and then he starts like getting the resets and popping off, like, you know, being the clincher, I guess you would say, in a lot of fights. But it just hasn't been there. But I think you can get there. Like I think the Triss, like they, no one played Kalista against them, but like I think if they want to play like the Kalista Triss angle, that's an angle last picking for Jinx and like making sure it's a good angle or like those kinds of things, I feel like can set them up well. And then Impact and JoJo can earlier pick their stuff because it doesn't seem to matter a ton. And I hope that they like keep going with this angle. I think that they're going to make it. I'm pretty confident that EG is going to make top four.
I'm really happy. Really, really happy that they snuck that win against T1. Because, like, everyone needs a little bit of luck. And I do think there was some skill involved in that game, but if I'm being completely honest, that was a fairly lucky win. But like any team that makes these runs as underdogs always needs something to break in their favor, because that can then infuse them with more confidence. And the other thing we've kind of realized about this team is they don't necessarily have like either the NA baggage or the NA nerves. Like I'm just conditioned from watching a TSM or even like save for 1 year, a TL at a lot of these international events. And it felt like when there was that like pressure game that they needed to win, they would suddenly be hesitant. But like against Saigon Buffalo, even yesterday, or they just pick like five engage champs and just like hard engaged every time with no hesitation. So they definitely seem much better at not feeling pressure, like the NA fan expectation pressure of everyone. Oh, if we lose this, we'll get memed forever. That doesn't seem to be on their minds, which I think is really good. That's what gives me confidence more than anything.
Even the EG game, and the casters called that a lot, like, or the RNG game, excuse me, they're just like, fuck it, YOLO. And they didn't like clam up. And I feel like a lot of the times NA teams, when the pressure was on, they would hold back. And then as soon as they were like, oh, mathematically we're eliminated except for one angle, let's play now. And then they would play well. I think that was always the thing. It's like, if there was ever a sign that you needed that pressure was getting to the North American teams, it would be, we look like shit during the games until they don't matter. And then we play well because the pressure's off because we think we're eliminated.
Yeah.
Like that happens so many years in a row. So EG just doesn't seem affected by that. I think their ceiling is not able to swing with the heavyweights when they're playing well, but it's good enough to catch them when they make mistakes like they did there. They should have beat G2 that fucking triple inhib game too. You know, like there's been a couple times that it's been close.
Yeah, like their 0-5. I mean, they cashed in, let's just say they cashed in the 0-5 versus G2 for a 1-1 against T1. Like it's a good trade.
Yeah, I'll take that because now we don't need to beat G2 tomorrow.
They don't have to, but it would be nice if they did. Okay, let's just do a quick, we're at 32 minute mark, so the upload's going to take like 3 hours at this point.
Whoops. I didn't realize it was going that
fast. It's been a fun day. I mean,
yeah.
Chat, like YouTube comments and chat is going to accuse us of being G2 biased. Like we definitely seem in better moods when G2 does poorly. Or maybe I'm just in a good mood because I tested negative for COVID, guys. Do you ever think of that?
All right, here's the reasons that it's not about G2 being 0-4.
Okay.
It was just a good day for North America. We beat T1. Obviously, we're going to be excited.
Yes.
I got more sleep, and it was uninterrupted, so I could just watch the whole day straight through. And Ashley's not here, so I can be loud, which is just going to make me sound happier.
Yeah.
Jat tested negative. Yep. Like, it's just everything's coming up North America.
Let's try and do quick predictions for tomorrow. G2, Saigon Buffalo. I give G2, like, actually like a 75% chance of winning. Maybe 80.
I give them a 95.
I think they're going to diagnose what's been happening and they're not going to blind pick Kalista and play against Tristana Rell again. They're just not going to let that happen again. Happened two times in a row against PSG.
I also feel like the way that we're talking about these North American teams, though, the past struggling under pressure, EU historically has been the opposite. The Fnatic runs, correct. G2's had a couple runs. Like when the pressure's on and they really need to show up to not be totally embarrassed, they seem to be able to do it.
I think
they'll be okay.
EG PSG. This is the sweaty one.
I want to say EG favored maybe like 65, but that sounds really confident to me, at least saying 65, but that's how I feel.
I think that's the 66 even. 67?
67? Do we have a 68?
This is going off the data. Remember the 22-10 NA versus versus LMS record?
It's basically, you'll go 66.
Yeah, I'll go like somewhere between 60 and 70. And the last time they played, it was actually pretty close, even though like EG just won some like fingers team fights. And that is, I mean, that's how they won an NA, but I can see some of those going wrong. So if they lose that's when the day gets really interesting and the like NA versus EU PTSD comes in with a potential EG G2 game later. So let's say, like for the sake of this podcast, PSG wins.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And G2 wins. That puts G2 at 5, EG at 4, PSG at 4. T1 versus Saigon, we'll say T1 wins. RNG versus PSG, we'll say
RNG.
We'll say RNG wins. Then even if EG loses to G2, you would still have assuming PSG loses to RNG, you would still have an EG PSG tiebreaker. So PSG would have to.
No, we'd be 2-0 against them then. If we beat PSG.
No, no. I'm saying EG loses to PSG as we go through the day.
Oh, sorry. I'm stupid. Yeah.
They would both be stuck at 4. If they win, they're just through. If EG wins that game too, they're just through, which is great. Yeah. So let's go to the EG versus G2 game. If it's one of those, like EG needs to win to guarantee that they're in, what's the percentage? Because they've literally lost 5 games in a row to G2.
Is G2 in already?
At this point in time, they would be
beat Saigon.
They would be at 5. And if PSG would have to have beaten RNG beforehand to make that
okay, so
G2 being in.
Right. So assuming PSG lost, G2's in. I actually feel like maybe G2 homie stalks us a
There's
little bit.
No
they,
way.
They're like,
There's
you don't
no...
think that they have a little fun? That they try and skill check us a little bit, maybe?
That's what G2. They'd say if they lose. This would be one of those games.
The West is united.
This would be one of those games where they like pick a Nivea again or something like it. Like something they actually think is good but aren't really sure of. And then if they lose, they can be like, ah, you're welcome. But if they win, they can be like, ha ha ha. That's the
6-0, idiots.
That's the energy. I think they want they 1,000,000% want a 6-0 EG. I think even if they're in, they're gonna try and knock NA out. That's just the way the rivalry goes. And then I think T1 will beat RNG at the end of the day, even though that game will probably not matter.
It'll matter a lot to both the team's pride. And there's a chance that it would cause a potential tiebreaker for first, because T1's one game back?
They're two. That only happens if PSG beats RNG. So like,
okay.
Like PSG having a big day is the worst thing that can happen for EG. But the best thing that happens for EG is they just beat PSG and they're in. Like, give that the last time I can recall that all they had to do was beat the LMS seed. It didn't go well. So here we go. Also, I'm really sad that if, you know, I'm trying to rebook my flights, I will probably be on a plane while this game is happening.
You can get Wi-Fi on most of these planes.
Yeah,
I think
I'll try.
One of the
few. I'll try.
Yeah. Are you going to record a podcast if you land in time?
I would love to. I would love to try and get a reaction episode, but like the only way you'll see that is if you subscribe to the channel, because otherwise you'll never know if it comes out or not.
If Jap made it home or not.
Okay, that's all I got. You got anything else?
No, I think that was pretty good.
Yeah. Big stream today. Thank you everyone for tuning in to Mark C's Twitch live stream of JLXP. Also, you can find this episode on the JLXP YouTube channel. I'll be uploading it as soon as the hotel Wi-Fi permits, and I will hopefully see you next time. But there is a chance that I'm on a plane for the day 5 reaction. Anyway, fingers crossed that things go well. See you guys next time.